Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, turn it to 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to take a look at verse 3, 4, and 5 here. And I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that we are in a battlefield, and the battlefield is between your ears. It is the battlefield of the mind, and you are in a battle. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a born-again believer, you know you are in a battle. The devil would like to take you out. He would like to wipe you out. He would like for you to turn against yourself, even thoughts of suicide. And I would encourage all of you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, that you come to Him today, that you seek Him today, that you get down on your knees and do business with the Lord today. If sin is running your life and the devil is running your life, I pray that you would just get down on your knees and do business with the Lord today, and you'll be in a different kind of a battle then. You'll be in a battle for your mind and for your soul. Even though you have committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil will not leave you alone. In fact, just the opposite. Once you commit and declare yourself a soldier in the army of the Lord, you will then become target number one. You will be a bullseye for the devil. And so just prepare yourself. But I would much rather be a soldier for the Lord's army. I'd much rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And so as you take on the armor of God, as you stand with His army, then you are going to be prepared. And in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, you're going to be prepared to do battle with the enemy of your soul, the devil, who has declared war against you and is going to take you out if he can. Well, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians about the battle of the mind. He says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Well, that's a big mouthful. That's a lot to say. But what Paul is saying basically here is that we're in a war, and our weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly. We don't pick up guns. We don't pick up knives. I'm not discounting the possibility sometime that we might have to pick up guns and knives to defend our families, and I believe God is okay with that, or to defend our homeland, and I believe God is okay with that. But what I'm talking about here today is just your daily battle here in your life, in your walk of life, your daily battle with the devil. You don't pick up against your neighbors, against your family, against your spouse, against your co-workers, and do battle with them with carnal weapons. You do battle with them in the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling down strongholds. And so we looked at this scripture a couple of weeks ago. What are our weapons of warfare? Well, our weapons are spiritual. They're prayer, and they're fasting, and they're Bible study, or studying God's Word and memorizing God's Word. And then there's also the fellowship to encourage and exhort and stimulate each other to good deeds and to a higher place in the kingdom. And so our weapons are spiritual, and they are for tearing down strongholds. God has given us these weapons to do battle with the enemy, and as you use these weapons, you'll find out how powerful they are, not only to subdue the little demons in your life, the little imps that are tormenting you, the messengers of the devil that are tormenting you, but also, as God gives you more authority, these weapons can be used to take authority over powers and principalities and change the destiny and change the course of whole nations and whole regions of this earth. And so as you walk with the Lord in more authority, as you take on more kingdom pursuits and are obedient and your anointing gets stronger, eventually you'll be able to affect change in whole principalities of this earth and nations. And I've seen this in the Africa ministry. God has taken us over there, and he has given us great authority to affect the destiny and change the outcome of whole regions here on this earth. And I don't say this to boast. I boast only in the Lord. I boast only in Jesus Christ. But as you are obedient, God will increase the anointing on you, and he will take you to a place of authority, and he will establish you, and you can decree his decrees over regions. You can decree his word over regions, and you can bless the people there, and you can strengthen and encourage them. And God wants you to do that, whether it's just in your own life, or whether it's in your family, whether it's in this community of Norton, whether it's in your region, wherever it's at. God wants you to have more authority. He will encourage and strengthen you. He'll strengthen your faith to believe for greater things and mightier things of what the kingdom can accomplish in the area that you're speaking over. Well, again, in verse 5, it says that we are casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, these arguments are put forth by the devil, and we're going to look at some arguments here in just a little bit in Matthew 4, that the devil had the nerve to even argue against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we cast down arguments, and we throw them down, and every high thing, that's powers and principalities, that's regional governors in the devil's kingdom, that's principalities over institutions, and principalities over states and nations. And we can tear those things down. We can tear down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so I want to stop there and just say, if you are struggling with thoughts of depression and suicide, and you're struggling with thoughts of despair, and maybe you have a lot of self-rejection or self-hatred, self-anger, and maybe you've been told all your life that you're not going to amount to anything, that you are a failure, a loser, that you can't accomplish anything in your life. I don't know what has been spoken over you, but many times people have curses spoken over them by their parents or their friends or grandparents or people in trusted positions. And I want you to know, when you start to take in the Word of God, when you start to memorize the Word of God, when you start to read the words that God has for you, what he has spoken over your life, what Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his blood so that your life could not only have value, but you could do something mighty through God, through Jesus. You could do something mighty for the kingdom. Your life will have value. Your life will serve a purpose. Your life will have a calling and a destiny, not only here on this earth, not only here at your time here on this earth, which is a brief and fleeting time, but also for all eternity. You're going to be worshiping God, and you're going to be fulfilling your destiny by being around the throne room of God and saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be with you for all eternity. And as you do that, you deny and you take captive every thought that comes against the knowledge of God in your life. You take captive every thought that raises itself up in disobedience over what God has spoken in your life. Well, I spoke a minute ago about the arguments that even our Lord Jesus Christ faced in Matthew 4. If you'll turn there in your Bible, Matthew 4, we're going to look at the classic battle between the Lord Jesus himself and the devil. And the devil thought he could take advantage of the Lord. The Lord had been up in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, and the devil thought, well, I've got him in a weakened condition. I can take advantage of this situation. I can exploit this situation, because here's the Son of God, and he is weak, and he has been fasting, and so I'll just go up there, and I'll tempt him, and I'll test him, and I'll exploit his weakness, and see if I can get him to break, and see if I can get him to give in and agree with me on my worldview and on my place here on this earth. Well, in verse 1 in chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And then the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And so the big face-off begins, the face-off that determined the outcome on this earth and the universe, all of God's creation. The face-off between the devil and Jesus Christ begins, and Jesus is standing for the kingdom of God, and the devil is standing for the kingdom of Satan. And so we see this face-off begin, and the devil asks him or tells him and tempts him with this sentence, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so the devil always comes to us and makes us believe that God isn't going to take care of us. The stones represent, or the bread represents provision. It represents food, but it also represents money. It represents the resources that we need. In all your life, you're going to need money. You're going to need resources. You're going to have to pay your bills. You're going to have to supply gasoline for your car and insurance housing and shelter and clothing and all these things. And so the devil, he will come to you and say, you know, God isn't going to take care of you. God isn't going to provide you. And he'll try to stir up fear in your life. He'll try to stir up a doubt in your life. You know, you really can't trust God to take care of you. You really can't trust God to be your provision. And so there's a question that arises in our mind. Well, can we really trust God, or is the devil right? Maybe I should do a little dope deal on the side, or maybe I should cheat on my taxes, or maybe I should go out there and do something illegal to try to rake in some more money. And so the devil uses this on every single one of us. This is one of the great temptations, that he will try to get us to believe that God isn't going to take care of us. And Jesus again said in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Jesus was telling the devil, I'm going to live by God's word. I don't sustain myself on earthly things. I don't sustain myself on earthly provision. And we need to do that too, brother and sister. You need to get in God's word. You need to check out and see what God thinks about you and speaks over your life. And just as God took care of the Israelites, just as God took care of the children of Israel, and he did not let their sandals to wear out, and he fed them with manna day by day, so he too will take care of you. So he too, when you decree and declare over your life, you want to serve God, you will be provided for by God. You will be blessed by God. Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, the Lord humbled you, and he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your garments did not wear out on you, your foot did not swell these 40 years, and you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And so God provided for them. He led them into the promised land, and he gave them the land of milk and honey. And he told them this would be a fruitful land, and he told them to take care of it, and that he would bless them in that place. Well, back to Matthew 4, verse 5, it says, then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And so the devil tempted Jesus. He's saying, go ahead and do something crazy, Jesus. Go ahead and do something that will put the Lord to the test. And we do this many times in our own life. We put the Lord to the test. We do foolish things. We make foolish decisions. We act out in crazy ways or in ways that are not beneficial to ourselves or to our family. And then we ask the Lord, will you rescue us? Will you come to my rescue? And so many people are angry at God. They don't trust God because they've put him to the test in some way that God says, I'm not going to rescue you from your foolishness. I'm not going to rescue you from your stupidity or your rash decisions. The Lord says, I'm going to let you suffer the consequences of your foolishness. I'm going to let you suffer the consequences of your poor decisions because you did not seek me for counsel. You did not lean on me for your understanding. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your might and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And so as you seek the Lord, as you trust the Lord to give you the wisdom through the Holy Spirit for the decisions that you make, as you trust the Lord, you'll find out the Lord has your best interest at heart. The Lord knows your needs. He knows every burden in your life and every trial and every tribulation. And so he will take care of you, and he will watch out for you, and he will keep your foot from striking against a stone. Proverbs 1:7 tells us this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Well, the knowledge of the Holy One is to come to know the Lord. And the only way that you can do that, beloved, is you need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time studying God's Word. You need to spend time in the fellowship to get to know the Holy One, because as you get to know the Holy One, that is understanding, and that is a fear of the Lord. Well, the third way that the devil tried to tempt Jesus and get into his mind is in verse 7. Verse 8, again, the devil took Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Well, it certainly is tempting at times to serve the devil. Many people fall into that trap. They look at the glorious life of the rich and famous and people that are doing things illegally, running drug cartels, or the rich and famous, the celebrities of the world, and they think, wow, if I could just fall down and worship the devil, he would give me everything that I want. Even to the point of some people worship Satan in satanic cults and satanic witch covens and different kinds of satanic worship and It's all a lie from the pit of hell. The devil is the great liar, the deceiver. All he wants to do is destroy you and to take you out and to kill you. And then he wants to start on your family and destroy your children, destroy your grandchildren. And so we need to be in prayer. We need to be exercising those weapons, of those spiritual weapons that are mighty for tearing down strongholds. And Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so if you're tempted to join ranks with the devil and do something illegal, or you're tempted to take up the devil's kingdom in a way that you know you're compromising your morals, you're compromising your values, you're compromising your walk with the Lord, I say to you today, turn back to the Lord. Turn back if you've been a backslider and you've gotten completely away from the kingdom of God. I say to you today, turn back to the Lord. It is God's will that you carry out his kingdom purposes. It is God's will that you align yourself with his kingdom. It is God's will that as you seek him, that he will provide for you. Matthew 6:33 tells us this, seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as you seek the Lord and his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus says, I will provide for you. I will take care of you. you will receive the blessings and the benefits of walking in the kingdom of God. You will receive the blessings that my Father has declared over you and has prepared for you. And if you will trust the Lord, brothers and sisters, and seek Him and His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these things, what you desire for yourself, those things shall be added unto you. Well, it's great to know that God cares about you. It's great to know that God loves you, that He sent His own Son, Jesus, to die for you, to hang for you on that cross, to shed His precious blood 7 different ways for you. And after you have not accepted Jesus, I beg you to do that today. I urge you to do that today. Just take Jesus into your life. Say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I confess and I repent of my sin and my wicked ways, and I want to serve you and know you, and I want to acknowledge you in every way. And if you do that, the Lord will be faithful and true to come into your heart. He'll send the Holy Spirit to comfort you and counsel you, and follow that up with Christian baptism, and you will know then that the kingdom of God is sufficient for you. The kingdom of God is everything that you need. The kingdom of God will supply for you all the desires of your heart. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. I ask you again to be in prayer for the Africa Mission as I take off this week, and just keep me lifted up and the team lifted up in prayer, and for souls to come into the kingdom. And I just thank you again for tuning in today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.